In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Time to talk movies. Alan Adams of The Main Edge, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, 557 Stillwater Avenue, Bangor, where they have a film for everybody in the family. Hello, Alan.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
How was your weekend?
It was good. Busy.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was busy. Got out to the movies a couple of times.
Good,
went to see a couple of shows.
Yeah.
And the, you know, the sort of mid-October to early November is always a very busy time in the local theatrical community. And so I got out to see a couple of things.
Well, yeah. And in the midst of all that, a couple big things on your docket as well. Let's start with this weekend as you're putting together the 5th annual Improv Me Festival.
It's pretty crazy that it's been around for 5 years. Yeah, no, it's the 5th annual Improv Me Festival taking place over the course of 2 days, November 2nd and 3rd, this Friday and Saturday. It's all at the Next Generation Theater, the focus group's Home Away From Home. And yeah, we're bringing groups from all over the state of Maine together to celebrate making stuff up and trying to be funny. So yeah, on Friday night it's the focus group, as well as Teachers Lounge Mafia from Farmington and Improv Acadia from Bar Harbor. And then on Saturday there are two sessions. In the early session, we've got Bangor's Queen City Improv. We've got a group mainly improv out of Southern Maine, and then returning to the festival is Running with Scissors from out of Portland, and then closing things out, we're gonna perform again, and then we're gonna be joined by the fine folks from the Fresnel Theater, bringing the comedy sports format to grace the Next Gen stage, and then from there we're gonna close it out with what we're calling an all-star jam. We're gonna have groups people from various groups come up, and we're gonna get up there and what's probably going to be a complete circus, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, it's great. A tremendous improv talent this weekend at the Next Generation Theater, the 5th annual Improv Maine Festival. And as if that's not enough, tomorrow night, not that you have to do anything, your work here is done. Tomorrow night, our own Alan Adams makes his debut on Jeopardy.
Yeah, no, it's happening. It's been a long time coming. Look, I'm not one who wants to keep secrets. That's not really what I'm about. And so having to keep all of this stuff under wraps for like 2 months has been trying.
I'm sure.
But
do you want to unburden yourself right now?
Oh, God, can you imagine? No, it's going to be great.
I expect it would, middle of the night, 3 o'clock, your cell phone rings. What the hell is this? Alan, Trebek, I hear you talk. All of a sudden, there's a knock at the door.
Yep. No, you just, you could try to
run. My God, Ken Jennings is at the door. No, and he's got a club.
But yeah, no, it's going to be great. 7:30, it airs on ABC7. We're going to be, there's going to be a bunch of us down at the new OBC location.
Yeah, can't wait.
I'm really curious to see how many people turn up. It sounds like it's gonna be a lot, which is exciting and a little nerve-wracking, because it's like, you know, you're gonna be and it's you're up there on the screen,
right?
And
are these people gonna shut up though so I can watch you play the game?
Here's the thing. I have had a number of people make very clear that if anyone starts yammering, there's going to be problems.
Yes.
And so I imagine there will be enough enforcer types in the crowd to keep things sort of on the straight and narrow. I mean,
okay.
Really, like, you got to shut up for like 25 minutes. Like, you can handle
that. That's it. That's all.
Yeah. So I think people will be fine. But yeah, no, the hilarious part about this, and I was talking to my wife about this the other day, we were talking about it because she's literally the only person I could talk to about any of this stuff, because she was there, so she knows. And she said something. She's like, well, what about this when this happened? And I'm like, well, what do you mean? And it's like, and it turns out there are significant gaps in my memory.
Well, you're so locked in to playing the game.
Yeah, like I fugued out. So it's like, I don't know. There are going to be things that air that I don't remember happening. And that is going to be a trip, because, you know, it's
I would imagine you have to play the game.
Yeah, like it's just one of those things where one of the things I feel like I can say is, you know, I didn't there was no dwelling, you know, on whether, you know, whether I felt like I should have, you know, I should have rung in faster, or, you know, maybe I knew an answer and didn't, you know, was scared, or like I don't have any regrets in that capacity. You know what I mean? So it's just like I feel like I feel like the Bangor area, I've done them proud. I feel confident in saying that.
You've done that just by getting there, man.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
hard to do.
So but yeah, it's gonna be a real hoot to have everybody in there and seeing we'll all find out together how things how some of this stuff worked out. But yeah, it's finally here, and I'm really looking forward to being able to actually talk about it and talk about the experience in more detail.
Can't wait. And we'll do that Wednesday when you're here.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, let's talk movies. What did you see?
I actually saw a couple. I saw the movie Hunter Killer.
Yeah, I talked to somebody else who saw that. Oh, Mike Toole said he saw that and was surprised that it was better than he thought.
Yeah, I mean, I get that.
Uh-oh. You not so much, I'm guessing.
Well, it's one of those things where it appears that Gerard Butler has made it his mission to basically remake every like mid-90s action thriller for today's audience, because we remember the brief spate of submarine movies in the early to mid-90s. We've got another one here with Hunter Killer. The gist of it, such as it is, there's an incident in Russian waters involving a Russian submarine and an American submarine. Another American submarine is enlisted at the behest of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, played by Gary Oldman, because of course Gary Oldman is here. but one of the rear admirals in command, played by Common, has some doubts about what actually happened. And thanks to some intelligence provided by an NSA agent played by Linda Cardinelli, he decides that it should be a rescue mission. And so he enlists the unorthodox Captain Glass, Joe Glass, played by Gerard Butler, who's not one of these Annapolis guys. Like, he worked his way up from the machine room. He's one of the people. And he commands as such. But here's the thing you might not know. There's an entire subplot, like a good third of the movie, devoted to like this random like SEAL team that is also involved in this mission, where they have to go overland and wind up at this Russian naval base. Why the Russian naval base, you ask? Well, it turns out the Minister of Defense has staged a coup and has kidnapped the Russian president. And so now, instead of rescuing the people who were in the submarine, Gerard Butler and random SEAL team and everybody must come together in an effort to rescue the Russian president from the clutches of the Minister of Defense, and in order to prevent the onrushing specter of, well, nuclear holocaust. So it's
a lot at stake here.
Yeah, the stakes are high, and none of it makes any sense. It's not to say there's not the enjoyment to be mined from this, mind you, because I did have a good time, but it is there are a lot of holes in this narrative. I don't know if you could tell from the synopsis,
but
you know, not necessarily a completely smooth storytelling situation here. You know, the CGI stuff is questionable. Honestly, the thing it put me in mind of was last year's, or earlier, I guess it was earlier this year, was Geostorm, which was also starred Gerard Butler in a movie that really felt like it should have been, you know, released in 1998. I feel very similarly about Hunter Killer. Don't get me wrong. Everybody's doing what they do. Gerard Butler, I swear to God, it's like they just like draw a face on a jar of mayonnaise and just give it a Scottish accent and send it out its way. You know, he's very good. He's very good at what he does as far as this is concerned. You know, Oldman, you can see him counting his money. Like, he's just like, it's like, I'm here because they kept adding zeros until it was like, okay, well, I guess I need a new beach house. Let's do this. But yeah, it's fine. It's, the action sequences are a little corny. The dialogue is ridiculous at times. And the performances range from overwrought to disinterested. But all that being said, there are worse times. You'll have worse times at the movies, honestly. Despite everything I just said, I didn't hate it. I had a pretty good time, all things considered.
That's a classic. Love that. All right, that's one. What else did you see?
The other movie I saw, the movie Mid-90s.
I've not heard of this.
It's the directorial debut of Jonah Hill.
Oh, okay, yes. He wrote and directed
the film. It's basically a sort of love letter to like mid-90s, like Southern California skate culture.
Yep.
It's a really simple story. A young man named Stevie, struggles with being at home. Like, he's got a single mom who works too much and an older brother who's kind of a bully and a little kind of physically aggressive with him. And so he's just looking for something, anything, something, somewhere to belong. And he winds up wandering into a skate shop and making friends with this crew of guys. There's Ruben, who's like the one who's closest to his age. And then there's three like high school age kids. One's named Ray. One is named fourth grade because he's as smart as a fourth grader. And then there's the other one. Whose name I can't say on the air, because it's not one curse word, but two strung together.
Oh, how nice.
The first one starts with F, mm-hmm. and the second one starts with S.
Okay.
And it rhymes with Buckspit.
Wow.
Yeah, that's his name. That's what everybody calls him.
Well, good friends do that.
I guess so.
in the mid-90s.
Yeah, and it's basically just this kid learning how to skateboard and, like, you know, and sort of being, you know, forming this sort of surrogate family while, you know, struggling with the fact that he's not necessarily getting the kinds of connections that he wants and needs at home. And so, you know, at that time, like, you know, he's a 13-year-old kid operating basically unsupervised with a bunch of older kids. So mistakes are made, you know, like he's introduced to, you know, bad habits, drinking and smoking, and he's partying and all this stuff. But he's also like found like a genuine tribe, and that's, I think, the underlying message of the movie is this notion of how important it is to find your people, and you never know where your people are going to, you know, appear, and you have to right. embrace that opportunity when it comes. The script is great. The directing's a little uneven. Like, he's clearly, like, it's clearly his first go round, but you can definitely see the flashes of someone who's going to be very good at this, and sooner rather than later. One of the really fascinating aspects of this, aside from the lovely Catherine Waterston, who plays Stevie's mom, and Lucas Hedges, who plays his older brother.
He's great.
Lucas Hedges is phenomenal. But all of these other kids, the skaters, he cast like skateboarders. Like, these weren't he cast skateboarders and figured out how to get them to act, as opposed to casting actors who he then had to, you know, teach how to skate.
Right.
And it's one of those things where it could have gone terribly, terribly wrong, and it doesn't. And a lot of the credit for that has to go to the kid's name is Sonny Suljic. He's the kid who plays Stevie, the lead. I mean, 13 years old, had never acted before last year, and has gone on really a pretty impressive run. He was in The Killing of a Sacred Deer. He's in the House with a Clock in Its Walls, and he's in this.
Wow.
But he's a little skate punk. Like, he had never like acted before, and there's this wonderful naturalism that comes from that, because I find that when you cast non-actors, it goes one of two ways. It either feels utterly and completely false, or you find something really genuine that kind of comes through. And
what did someone say in a review of our friend Ron Adams once? Unencumbered by training.
Yes, unencumbered by training. In the case of this kid, I think that's true. Like, I mean, there's just something so so very like pure about what he brings to the table. And I mean, to a similar extent, not nearly as intensely, but The other guys, the other skateboarders, they're all professional skateboarders, and they're all, you know, and most of them are making basically their feature debut. Like, at least the Siljit kid had done stuff before. Like, this is like, you go to their IMDb page and it's like they have one credit and it's this movie. And to have someone so inexperienced give such a great performance, it's really impressive. And I think it speaks well not only to their natural talents, but to Hill's talent as far as casting and finding the right people to fill these roles. It's a wonderful coming of age story, and reminiscent of like a more cheerful version of the movie Kids from back in the, mm-hmm. the from the actual mid 90s. Yeah. It has that same sort of vibe, that sort of unsupervised young people, basically trying to figure it out kind of vibe, without the sort of bleakness that Kids had. Like, it's still kind of bleak. It has its moments where it gets a little intense, but ultimately you feel fairly confident that that this kid is going to figure out what it is that he's looking for. And it was really pretty compelling stuff. And I very much look forward to seeing what sort of stuff Jonah Hill does if he continues behind the camera.
Outstanding. Alan Adams breaking it down here on Pass the Popcorn. Do we say good luck when it's already happened? Hope you had good luck those months ago when you taped Jeopardy that we'll see tomorrow night.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Huxbit.